Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies of all kinds. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you once again from almost out of the woods with another Homes Alone edition. It's Sunday, October 31st, 2021, Halloween Sunday. But this episode doesn't plop until late tonight. So I hope everyone is having a nice November so far. But we're going to go back in time to the last day of October with my guests, Chris Garcia, Eliza Skinner, and Andy Wood. Hey.
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, with a ghost of Halloween yesterday.
Yeah, it's the most frustrating day to record because it should be like an episode all about scary movies and Halloween. But actually, that's silly because who wants to hear any of that tomorrow?
See, I would, but I'm a real spook lover. I'm into the spookiness in general, but I do think it's remarkable how fast spooky season just cuts off for the most of the world.
Yeah, like, I saw a Christmas ad on TV already.
Oh yeah, you know, I went to Marshall's the other day. It's all Christmas.
Yeah, the transition just really just happened. Like, they sell out of, you know, whatever the popular Halloween thing is. You know, once they get off their shelves, they're just ready to move on.
They didn't even sell out. I had to walk to the back of the Marshalls, and there was just a pile of sad, forgotten about spider mugs. I bought them just because I felt bad for them and because I like spider mugs a lot.
Yeah, that's a real specific item, you know, like
See, I think it's year round. There's summer spiders, there's winter spiders, definitely spring spiders. You guys know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, they're the worst, yeah.
Next store I go into, I don't care what it is, I'm asking a poor employee, where are the spider mugs? And see what kind of twisted logic they throw all over that and what they think a spider mug is.
It's the beginning of some sort of Narnia adventure.
Like, I hope so.
Into the back.
Let's meet everybody alphabetically and individually, starting with host of the Scattered podcast. It's a podcast called Scattered. It's not, I wasn't describing it. And and his name, excuse me, his name, first time guest, Chris Garcia. Welcome. How's it going?
Thanks, Doug. That's the right pronunciation. You just huck some phlegm and then it's Chris. Thank you. And Garcia, thanks for having me, man. I'm excited to be here.
That was the most punk rock phlegm situation I've ever had during during a podcast, but something's wrong with me today. I'll tell you that.
You sound great. You sound
well.
Great.
You sound great, and thank you for doing this on the day its name shall not be spoken.
Yeah.
I did stand-up comedy last night for, it's so fun to do stand-up, on a Saturday, the night before Halloween. Cause if you're not at a horror movie or, somewhere with friends, what are you doing out? Like why are you even? And so the whole crowd was just people, not a single person had a costume on. It was all people that were just like, where can we go huddle together uncostumed and not make such a big thing out of the day before the day you don't care that much about?
I think that's great. I think it's weird when people dress up to comment. I mean, if they probably think that they're asking for it if they dress up in costume to a comedy show. But I was at the Comedy Store on Friday and some guy on stage who will remain unnamed was like, check out this witch. And I thought he was talking about someone in costume and he just wasn't. He was just an asshole. And I was like, oh my God, wow, that's brutal. I was like, is she wearing a hat or does she have a broom? No, she's just a nice Asian lady sitting in the front row.
Oh no. That is
it's pretty
It's hard, it's a dark room. It's hard to see.
It's hard to see.
Any lady could be a witch, even some of the dudes.
It's true.
everybody's a suspect these days. But a big fan of the entire month of October, I was just told, is also joining us. And I must say that there's a lot of it that I do enjoy. And, scary movies, of course, is one of those things. Returning guest, head writer of Earth to Ned. I don't know why I want to say that the other way around, but for some reason, I just think Ned has a bigger role on the show than Earth does.
Yeah, he does. And it really, it is him communicating to Earth. Ned to Earth would have made sense also, but.
Sure. Okay, good. I'm glad you're one of those people that is happy to accept it either way. It of course is on plus Disney, since I'm mixing everything up. And this, of course, is Eliza Skinner. Hi,
Yay.
Eliza.
Hi. Listening to you guys talk about the witches in the audience, I also have to point out, this is L.A. There's a really high chance that person self-identifies as a witch.
That's true.
We got Scientologists, we got witches.
Yeah, and some guys don't, they don't know from fashion. They think, dark clothes just means, either goth or a witch or something.
Yeah. Well, my boyfriend's daughter became a witch while I was living with them during the pandemic, which I thought was going to be like, oh, great. So we're going to be able to bond so much because I'm goth, and then I found out very quickly that I am a cultural witch and she is an Orthodox witch. So I'm like, want to watch a spooky movie? And she's like, ugh, no. Is there an egg I can bury in the yard? And I'm like, okay, I don't understand this.
Maybe you can go see Wicked together. That seems like common ground.
Right? I would, yeah.
You think witches of all stripes would have an interest in Wicked.
Exactly. And, they're singing and dancing. Who doesn't love that?
Right? There's a nice one and there's a bad one, like there's somebody anybody can empathize with at least one of them.
Yeah. Well, and the bad one, is she bad or does she just stand up for herself? Wow. It makes you think the whole thing.
Yeah. The whole thing has got a lot of big question marks at the end of Wicked. I think that's why people see it repeatedly. It's because it really brings up questions that it does not answer. and joining us for the 17th time. I don't know. I just feels about right. Doesn't it?
I like that number. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go with that.
Yeah, it's five-time Jeopardy champion, Andy Wood.
Thank you for having me. I should qualify four-time, but I wish five would have been great. I was on it five times. The fifth time I lost. So
there you go.
Jeopardy guest.
Yes. I'm going to say six time appearer
because the tournament I appeared and lost in the tournament. Six time appearer, four time winner, two time loser.
We did not steal any valor.
You've seen him six times on Jeopardy.
Yes.
It's Andy Wood.
Thank you for having me. It's very exciting to be back. And I'm bummed that we can't talk about scary movies because it's past the season and it can't be spoken of. But that is.
Well, certainly there, you know, there's no time of year. Even the very first day of November is fine for a scary movie. I'm always up for a good one. So you kind of showed up today with wanting to talk a little bit. Is there one particular one you want to talk about?
No, I feel like I'm forcing the conversation.
Get it off your chest. Come on.
I try to tell my guests there's zero prep on this one because I don't want anyone to put any effort into something that might not, you know, I might not come up or something. But if you like came here thinking about a scary movie, I'd love to hear about it.
Well, I didn't like do the homework because of this. It's spooky season and I hadn't ever seen or even heard of Near Dark until last week. And that's a really cool thing to discover. I'm sure you've seen Near Dark.
I mean, that's a movie you could recommend year round. Cause while it is, you know, about vampires, it's also there's a lot going on there. It's also a Western. It's also just very stylish. It's also
Catherine Bigelow's first movie.
Directed by a woman. Who kicks ass at, you know, every time out. It's a tribute to the late Bill Paxton.
It's the Paxtoniest I've seen him. He's so great and over the top in that bar fight scene. It's just incredible. That's worth it for the whole movie, that one scene.
I haven't seen this movie. Now I'm excited.
Yeah, it's Catherine Bigelow's first movie. It came out the year after Aliens. I think she had just met James Cameron and she wanted to get this this family vibe among these vampires, and she was trying to cast it, and James Cameron was like, "What? We just shot Aliens last year and these people get along. Why don't you just use these three actors who already like have a familial vibe?" So it's got Lance Henriksen, Bill Paxton, and is it Jennifer Goldstein? Jeanette Goldstein, who played in Aliens. So it's got three people from Aliens.
Oh, wait, so Jeanette from Jeanette's Bras?
Wait, what?
You don't know about her bras?
No, I don't.
She's like a bra mogul now.
What?
Yeah. I mean,
she's a brogul?
Yeah. I want to make sure I'm thinking of the from Aliens, right?
She played Ramirez. You're right. It's her.
Yeah. So she's like, so any woman with like, you know, slamming jugs that needs to find some sort of support to live their life and stand up straight, especially in the LA area, knows of Jeanette. She's like, you go in, you have like the fancy fitting. It's like there's like a practically a cult of her now.
Oh my God. The tagline says Jeanette's bras, the alphabet starts at D.
Yeah, see? I just love that's her backstory is Aliens.
That's amazing. Oh, I said Sanchez. I should have said Vasquez. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's her character. Private Vasquez in Aliens.
All right. Everybody stop looking things up on the internet. It really undermines the game show element of this program.
We'll not be using that when it's
important. If the listeners think everybody's just looking everything.
Hey, I was using my brain, so I just know about.
Yeah, see, that's cheating as well. We need to turn your brain.
That's fair.
Turn your brain off.
All right, that's fair.
All right, so we introduced everybody, and now because we are just, you know, racing into the non-Halloween season of the year, and things are, you know, that's one thing I do like about this transition is that they don't just suddenly drop pumpkin flavored things. Like pumpkin can, you know, coast all the way till like December 26, I think.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'd prefer pumpkin start now. I don't need pumpkins for Halloween. They're not spooky. They're not scary. They're vegetables.
That's an interesting point. And these days it's almost like tattoos. People are just carving anything they feel like carving.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not strictly a face anymore. Now it's all sorts of nonsense they're carving into the pumpkins.
Yeah, and we're already feeling very conflicted about Thanksgiving. We're like, do we celebrate this? Do we kind of skip over it? You know, if we piled all of the pumpkin onto the Thanksgiving, I feel like it could be kind of a pumpkin day and people could enjoy it for that.
I'd be more excited about November if that's when pumpkins, I'm talking also about, you know, pumpkin the flavor spice. Thing.
Yeah.
I'm talking about
the spice.
I have, I just have so many pumpkin flavored things throughout the season and none that I'm specifically addicted to. I just, if I'm purchasing something and pumpkin is a variety that's available of that thing, and it's usually only available, you know, in the around this time of year, then I tend to gravitate towards it.
You like a squash?
I guess so. I don't know.
Kind of a squash
I don't
guy.
Know. Sure. I don't know what's wrong with me. I mean, I'm one of those people, you know how there's a handful of different candies that come up and people talk about around Halloween where they discuss how can anybody like that? That candy's disgusting. You know, like Necco wafers or candy corn or black licorice. I love all three of those.
Wow.
Circus peanuts, bring them up.
So wait, do you dislike the more popular candies or you just like any candy, give it to me? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Those are hard to access. They're very hard to relate to.
Yeah. I love a red licorice or a candy bar of many different varieties. These people in my building that put a little dish of candy out and, you know, for whoever, I guess, because there's
trying to make sure they don't hear
whispering.
I don't want them to hear this. So I'm trying to keep it down. But they put out this dish and one of the things in the dish is just, they're even smaller than fun size or minis. They're like really small, different candies. But one of the ones that they have is a tiny Heath bar. I've always liked Heath bars, but it's always too much. Bite into it, you're getting too much of it all over. You know, you get your like an entire row of teeth get all gooey.
Yeah.
But these are just a tiny Heath bar. And that's my new obsession now is I don't think they can make Heath bars small enough. Like the smaller, the better.
That's why there was such a hit as a candy topping, you know, crushed up Heath. Mm-hmm. Boom.
Yeah. At the yogurt stand or the, what's that? Cold Stone. I haven't been to a Cold Stone in so crazy long. It's like just been not a part of my life anymore.
You moved to the city. Those are at beaches and suburbs.
Oh, okay. I thought, I guess, you know, like every mall's got one, right? Or a lot of malls did, you know, enough for a lot of great comedy to come out of it from so many comedians at that time. All right. So the question now I have to ask everybody before we get to the games is to just recommend one movie. Could be recommending it for any reason. You know, my personal choice would be just something that you think, you know, you're confident people would like it is a great way to go. Does anybody want to go first?
I'll go. I'm going to go with a movie I watched last night, and it is spooky. It's a horror movie, but I loved it, and I'd never seen it before, which is You're Next. I thought it was... It had everything I love in a scary movie, jump scares, and it was funny, but not annoying, like not too campy. It was just, and the ending was great. It was nice hour and a half, great scary movie. I'm going to go with You Next.
All right. So if anybody needs a scary movie for next October, jot that down.
I love that movie. That's a great choice.
Thank you.
I'm going to move away from scary movies because I feel like that's what we need, right?
I guess, I don't know.
This time of healing, post Halloween healing.
I'm like, can I write the ship? I'm going to say All That Jazz. Now, is everyone going to like it? No.
No.
But challenge yourself. You know,
yes.
Get it, be part of the conversation of many, many years ago. Also, I've got a film still of it right above my desk where I'm sitting. So, but it's a real weird movie, about and by Bob Fosse. Oh. And,
I
love it.
I can't think of another example of a writer director, just, you know, through a fictional character he's made up, still just pretty much lay out there all the flaws
Yeah.
And just all the people he traumatized, just, and they all get to give it back to him throughout the movie.
And it's some really... of them are in the movie playing yes. character versions of themselves.
Yes.
You know what?
Yes.
I think the closest you could compare it to would be, is it, do you say it's Synodoke? Schenectady?
Synecdoche.
So yeah, that sort of thing where it's like, it's about him almost in real time with his girlfriend playing his girlfriend. She had to audition for the part.
Ooh.
Yeah. real wild kind of stuff. Yeah. And he does not come off as a cool dude. But the way that he presents a lot of stuff, I think is very interesting and very much of its time. So
yeah.
Try that one out.
I want to revisit that movie because it's, I thought about it a lot during the Fosse Verdon miniseries that was on FX, a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. That, you know, was of course less exciting than All That Jazz because it was just, you know, showing you that, it, you know, the womanizing and all that is a lot less exciting when they just, you know, document it, you know, Sam Rockwell's playing the guy. But
yeah. When it's less this is a sickness, boo-hoo, I can't stop. It's more like, yo, dude, you really should stop. What's the matter with you?
Yeah. All That Jazz is really, it's wild how much of a tribute it is to like two or three other Bob Fosse movies. And the man ultimately only made like, you know, only directed like five or six movies. But, mm-hmm. But the other thing I just want to point out about All That Jazz is it's just the choreography and the musical numbers and the songs themselves, it's all very, very entertaining and catchy. It's not, the movie's not a complete downer.
Oh, and no, yeah, yeah.
It's fun, but it's also very, very honest and ultimately pretty depressing.
But not spooky, so there you go.
Yeah. It's, but yeah, well, there is, you know, there is like kind of a ghost character throughout the entire
okay, yeah, there is death is in the movie as a character, yes, but she's glamorous.
She's so glam. Oh, I love that movie. Roy Scheider's great. I mean, he's just like, I feel like that's one of those. I think that's one of those best actor opportunities where they really could have given it to him and they went, because he didn't have the kind of career where he get to play, you know, characters that were, you know, that interesting. He just had to be like the guy who comes in and, you know, is in charge and yells at people. And he was great in that movie.
Yeah. But I feel like he always had like, there was something interesting about the way he played those other characters. And yeah, in this one, he got to like lean into that interesting part.
Mm-hmm. He'd sneak the humanity into those other parts. But then this one was really like, must have been very soul bearing for him just as an actor to do all that stuff.
Yeah. Apparently they got very close. Like that wasn't who he wasn't who Fosse wanted for the part. And he fought for it. And then they stayed good friends, I believe, through the rest of their lives. But yeah, it is like, it feels like real art to me, you know, where it's like, you may not walk away liking the artist, but you're like, they did all those people in there. They were all committed to making something that was art.
Mm-hmm.
Does Roy Scheider dance in this movie?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, kind
of. Well, yeah, I'm looking at a photo of the final scene where he's dancing with Ben Vereen and...
There's some dancing for sure. He definitely stretched the Oscars always seem to really get like, you know, thrown at actors who suddenly sing and dance in something and can pull it off, right. You know, when that's not their thing they're known for. But he does a lot of, you know, there's just a lot of him barking choreography orders at people while wearing, you know, dance attire. So he doesn't do like too much choreography. But it's more choreography than, say, Michael Douglas in A Chorus Line, where you don't believe for a second that that guy's ever danced for a moment in his life. But there's plenty of directors of, you know, Broadway shows that, you know, don't dance and don't know how to. But they, you know, they just have choreographers there to do that. So,
yeah. But was Michael Douglas kind of that director? That was Kaminsky, right? In Chorus Line? Same universe.
that's a trip. I like that one. That's like that guy you know, tried to do musicals and they failed in that area as well, so that's why he eventually became the acting coach.
Yeah, he was doing okay with stage work, and then he went to Hollywood to get into film stuff, and just didn't take off.
Oh, Kaminsky and your methods. Andy, would you care to contribute a movie? These are such impassioned recommendations so far.
Yeah, this is one that I consider spooky, even though it's not a spooky, it's not a Halloween movie or a horror movie at all, but like it, thinking about it spooks me out. But 2004's Primer, which I might have recommended before.
Oh, yeah.
Primer, slight spoiler that it's time travel related, but that comes out in the first like 15 minutes or so. But yeah, just like the headiest, most engineery time travel movie with like some of the most perplexing time travel paradoxes. And also just, I've watched it so many times and I'm still not sure what happens, but I like that. It's just really unsettling and naturalistic. All the actors, I think, were like engineer friends of his. I think most of them were sort of outsiders, but they all did a great job. And I think it won Best Picture at Sundance and beat Garden State or something like that. I'm not going to Google it, which is great, as it should. That's what should beat Garden State. But Primer, yeah, I try to rewatch that every couple of years.
I want to say, does it have something to do with Looper also, or was it maybe referenced as like being...
Looper came out later. That's Ryan Johnson, right?
Yeah, I want to say that like I heard, because I feel like I heard of that movie in an article or discussion of Looper that was like...
Makes sense.
This is a movie to check out.
A thinking man's time travel movie.
Yeah.
I mean, there must be... If you wanted to watch every movie that had time travel, that'd be quite a challenge.
I think it's a device that would allow that to happen.
A lot of her. Yeah. But it's an interesting thing, because I know some people are just immediately, time travel puts them off right away. Like they're already checked out. Like I'm not interested in time travel. Which I'm more like not interested in doing it than I am in, like, I can watch a movie with time travel in it if it's an interesting story. They have time travel in the Harry Potter play. Did you know that? The Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, that has time travel in it, which is, you know, especially interesting in the Harry Potter universe, because they, you know, can kind of go back and change some things.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I feel like time travel, like vampires, has been added to the canon of, we're really talking about something else when we're talking about this in movies, you know, like the way zombies were always like, well, it's really a metaphor for some other thing. Now I feel like as soon as I see time travel or vampires, I'm like, okay. What it is about your dad? It's about
time travels, about
the church. It, what is this about? Time travel is usually dads, but but it's not just time travel.
Sometimes you fuck a mom though in time travel. So sometimes it's about moms too, or all moms.
Yeah. Or come close.
Yeah.
But that was like, you know, that's back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking about post Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Back to the Future is just about time travel, I think. But, you know.
By the way, Doug, are you?
I think you might be onto something there, that they, you know, as filmmakers, that I don't think they were interested in the sex with mom thing, except for it's funny to watch Michael J. Fox squirm.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? They weren't interested in exploring, like,
could you step into this role for yourself? Yeah. And it's funny to call him Calvin Klein.
Yeah.
It was so funny.
I can't believe somebody hasn't remade that just to make that a Victoria's Secret joke.
Right? Be such an easy switcheroony. And then you could ruin so many childhoods. Because, you know, it changes the sex of anything these days. But people are just...
Yes, it's so upset.
It's so ruinous to what already happened. I wish there was some time when somebody could go, James Bond's being played by a woman. And here's a stack of every James Bond movie made up to this point, and I'm going to destroy them. Before you, you know, they just destroy, because that's what they're acting like happens every time there's some sort of change. Everybody acts like what used to exist is just obliterated.
Yeah, well, it's almost like they think these iconic characters are real people. And so they're like, you've changed the person I knew into a different human. Like, they're not real people. They're all of the versions that you've seen. They can still be each version that you liked, and you can just forget about the ones you don't like. Let's pretend. Sorry.
Yes, but you know, it messes with the timeline, you know, and it's not, that one's not canon. When somebody tells me something's not canon, I just immediately am like, well, okay, we don't need to discuss this any further, because you've decided that something's, it's saying, you can say anything's canon if you want to. It's the word doesn't even make sense after a while.
Especially Nick. Yeah.
Exactly. Great, impassioned pleas for people to check out movies, specifically these three. You might be surprised by how much you enjoy these movies. That I bet you there's somebody sitting out there who hasn't heard of all three of them. That person exists, and we're helping them out. And we're going to go to a quick commercial break before we play our first game today. We'll do that right after this. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We're back, and fastest commercial breaks in the game, because we don't have a lot of sponsors. Let's start with a game called ABCD's Nuts. Pardon that expression. I don't know. Looking back, I hardly know how the game got that name. But it's a spelling game. And today, because Doug Loves Movies is coming back to Zany's in Nashville on Sunday, November 14th at 4:20. Today, we're going to spell Nashville, N-A-S-H-V-I-L-L-E. And by spell it, I mean this. We're going to start with Chris. And the first letter in Nashville is N. So all Chris has to do is name any movie that begins with the letter N. And he continues on in the game without being eliminated. Then we move to Eliza. The next letter is A in Nashville. So you name any movie that begins with the letter A. And then Andy would get S, et cetera. You only get the letter that's before yours if the person fails somehow at naming any movie that begins with the letter. But you can win this whole thing automatically if you match the movie that I've written down in advance of all the movies in the world. I've written some down for each of these letters. And if you match it, you win. And there's the theme.
So you might figure that out as we go. But unfortunately, Chris has no help with in terms of a theme. Just has to guess any movie that begins with the letter N.
Just going to try to have to guess this theme. I'm going to go with National Treasure, which is a national treasure starring Nick Cage that also starts with N. That's
exactly what I thought of. That is exactly what I was thinking. Yeah, maybe because of the Nash in Nashville, but that's exactly what
maybe that's why it happens. It's the Nash, but yeah, I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, I don't know. What did you did one pop into your head, Eliza?
Adaptation? Oh, wait, for that, for the end?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm thinking about it already. Night of the Living Dead, but I was like, thank God I don't have it because we're not getting spooky.
I've just never done that before. Ask the other players what popped into their head. Cause it is, I bet you the people match a lot for reasons like that. We were just talking about the Nashville, like just got the Nah sound going.
Yeah.
So you just follow through with National Treasure. And you both went with the original and didn't pick National Treasure 2, Book of Secrets. Is that what it's called? But I wrote down a motion picture that actually may have won an Academy Award. It was definitely nominated. A movie called Norbit.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
My friend was the location manager for that movie. He keeps the sign up in his apartment of the like the direction you're supposed to go if you go into the Norbit.
The yellow with black writing.
Yeah.
I guess they could probably just write Norbit because that was like a original IP at the time, right?
Yeah.
was a spinoff of Dr. Doolittle, was it?
I don't think so. I think it was just a straight up character he came up with, which was just, I mean, the movie's horrifying. I think it won an Oscar for best makeup effects because the makeup's incredible. They make a lot of people that aren't spectacularly large individuals into such and then make fun of how their bodies look. It's a weird movie.
Yeah, it's a big movie for fat suits.
They like to say in catty circles discussing the Oscars that Eddie Murphy lost the Oscar for Dreamgirls, didn't win when he was nominated for supporting actor, and he is very good in that movie. They say that he lost because Norbit came out around the time that the Oscar voters were trying to pick a winner, and seeing ads on TV of him playing Norbit kind of soured everybody on him.
This isn't a classy enough actor for our award.
Exactly. Because it's already hard. He already had to act dramatic to get an Oscar, even though he's a brilliant comedian. It's like, the whole system is messed up. Like being funny in a movie is so much harder than being dramatic in a movie.
Oh, yeah. I went down a real rabbit hole about this the other night, which I won't take you on right now, but I feel like the Academy Awards gaslight the whole world where they're like, this is the best movie from this year. And all of us are like, no, it wasn't. What are you talking about? I don't remember. Look, how many of us pulled The Artist out and watched that? We're like, ooh, gotta sit down and watch The Artist. Nobody does that.
That's true. I just
and all the acting, it's always who did the best impression this year. Not who did the best acting.
Yes.
Wow. Right, he really talks like that other person. Okay, great.
Yeah, it is an impression or weight loss or,
singing and dancing.
Having to wear ugly makeup or having to look. I love Charlize Theron when she got an Oscar nomination for having to look a different kind of pretty.
Yeah, and I believe that was what Halle Berry got her Oscar for also, right?
And both those had monsters in them, didn't they?
Yeah. Oh, Halloween.
Maybe that's why I thought of it.
Well, I was talking about in Bombshell when she plays Megyn Kelly. Oh. She's like, Megyn Kelly's also an attractive woman. So it's just like putting makeup, gobs of makeup on her to make her look like a different attractive woman. And you're just watching the stunt the whole time. And then Nicole Kidman walks in and looking like Nicole Kidman instead of Gretchen Carlson, who she's supposed to be playing. Like, you don't have one movie you don't have one person in the movie go to such lengths to look like the character and another person in the same movie not try at all.
Yeah. Oh, man. Have you seen the Tyler Perry, I believe it's Temptation, Diary of a Marriage Counselor?
I have not seen that one.
Confessions of a Marriage Counselor. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's great because there's a big jump forward in time at the very end. I'm not going to give you spoilers, but so all the actors are wearing age makeup. They've aged a number of years, except Brandy. Like, with no explanation. It just seems like Brandy was like, I'm not wearing that stuff. No, thank you. There's no reason for that to age. I love it.
Maybe they scheduled, like, maybe the next day she had a scene, you know, because they shoot everything out of order. Maybe, like, she had to shoot something the next day where she had to look, you know, she wanted to look good. And, you know, that makeup just destroys your skin for, you know, it's like such a process to recover from. Yeah. From that crap. I don't know. That's a weird ass.
Maybe she's like, I feel like I would age like this. I would age really well. Yeah. I would look exactly the same.
Yeah. Everyone else felt so bad on set. Like, oh, okay. That's what she thinks she's going to look like. We look like this.
Yeah. Imagine showing up to shoot a scene and you're like, well, at least we all look like, wait a minute. Oh, man.
All right, so we're on to the letter A and this fast-paced game. Liza, what do you think?
Oh, sorry.
What do you think it is? No, yeah. That was fun.
Well, I said adaptation before because I thought we were doing a Nick Cage thing, but we're clearly not. So, and I already gave. I'm going to say All the President's Men.
Oh, okay, that's a fun switch up. I went with a motion picture called Albert Nobbs.
Okay.
Yeah, so far we got Norbit and Albert Nobbs, and we're on to Andy for the letter S.
I'm gonna go Spider-Man : Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, that's cool. I like this spoken colon. But I went with Steve Jobs.
I should have followed the lead of the first two things you did.
We've got Norbit and Albert Nobbs and Steve Jobs, and it's H is back to Chris.
Okay. This theme. Let's see. What is a movie? Gosh, I can't think of a movie that starts with a person. I'm gonna go with Her.
I like that movie, and it certainly begins with the letter H. It even begins with the same first two letters of the movie I picked. I said Herbie? A movie called what?
Herbie Fully Loaded?
No, but that would have been a great one because I love bringing up Herbie Fully Loaded whenever possible. Because just sounds like somebody that's just drunk. you got to know Herbie's in the car, and that he apparently he comes with a lot of extras. But I don't feel like Herbie is ever fully loaded. But maybe he was in that one.
Certainly don't want to drive home with him when he's fully loaded. You know, take a different car.
Yeah, but anyway, I went with a movie called Henry Fool.
Oh yeah.
Hmm. V is the next letter for Eliza.
Okay. Then I'm in an attempt to get this right. I'm going to go with Victor Victoria.
Oh, very nice. So close.
Damn.
Van Wilder. Everybody's friend Van Wilder. this next one, Andy. I'm glad you got this next one.
I know this is not going to be the one you went with, but I can't pull a name. So I'm going to go iRobot.
No. I mean, this one's so dumb. I couldn't, you know, there's Indiana Jones and the blah, 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 blah. But that's not exactly what I was going for here. I went with Ivan Ho. Which, of course, is one word, actually. L is next. Back to you, Chris.
Okay. I'm going to go with Leonard Part 6. My favorite comedian. No, I'm kidding. Sorry, no, I'm just kidding.
I mean, no. Has there ever been a joke title that's a bigger fart than Leonard Part 6.
That's true. It's so true.
You know, like just... History of the World Part 1, it already happened. So that makes that joke pretty much, that pretty much kills the numbers game right there with the fake starting number. Anyway. I also liked Remo Williams, the Adventure Begins, because they never made another one of those. what was the L? What'd you say for L?
Leonard Part 6?
Oh, yeah. I talked about it for so long, I forgot.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking at what I wrote. Going, did he say that? The answer is Larry Crown.
Oh.
Has anybody seen Larry Crown?
It's really bad.
No.
It's so about bad. A guy named Larry Crown who, like, there's no reason to name a movie after him.
Oh, wait.
Is this Tom Hanks? No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have seen that. Oh, clearly it was memorable.
Julia Roberts is like, she becomes Larry Crown's girlfriend for no reason. He just gets this hot girlfriend and he just walks around going, I can't believe this girl's into me. I'm just Larry Crown. I don't even have a funny accent or anything. I'm just this guy. He rides around on a moped.
Yeah,
he's not on the spectrum. He's just like, it's just like Tom Hanks going, what would my life be like if I had none of this? If I had none of these things, if I was just single and working at a community college, what would my life be like? And the answer is not interesting. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry to go off about Larry Crown. It just cracks me up. But now he's got this new little movie coming out that's just called Finch. And I'm pretty sure that's his character's name. And it's just like, dude, yeah. Can you come up with a title? Would it kill you?
Yeah. I mean,
did he just Saving Private Ryan? I'm out. That's the best title anyone could ever come up with. L.
Joe versus the Volcano is pretty fun.
I love that title.
Yeah.
That movie almost drove its director out of the game, though. He was so frustrated with the process.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I need to go back and watch that because I just remember it being so panned and I feel like it's an Ishtar thing where it's like, was it really that bad or did it just become a great punchline that everybody used too much?
It's a great movie. It's really good.
Yeah. That's what I feel like.
I can't recommend it enough because it's like, especially if you've never seen it before, it's just wild how the tonal shifts and how they actually work are pretty amazing. And people that like that movie quote it all the time because there's like several things that people say that they, you know, that's a, you know, it's kind of like it's a lot like a play, you know, it's like, you know, the real solid, like three acts and very specific things happening in each one. And but also a lot of repeating of lines. So that ends up, leading to catchphrases for people that watch the movie a lot, or at least have seen it a few times.
Are you saying this because you have a favorite catchphrase from this?
Yeah, you want to tell us.
Tell us what the catchphrase is. Okay.
No. Well, I mean, I can, you know, as I was saying all that, I can think of like, and that, this isn't true of too many movies. I can think of like four or five, at least, lines from the movie that you just, that when the situation presents itself, it's a fun thing to say, especially Meg Ryan's, she just says, as two different characters says the same thing twice. I think she says, Tom Hanks says something and she just goes, I have no response to that.
I forgot that she was in that also. So that's three movies that they did together.
Yeah. And she plays three parts in that one. And I dare say it's one of her, you know, best performances. The three characters are very different from each other. Anyway, who's up?
Me.
L in Nashville.
Okay, so I can only think of girl names, and I feel like it's boy names. So I'm gonna go with I'm not gonna get it. I'm gonna go with Logan's Run.
I apologize for the only boy names thing. I didn't even see that coming, but it really is true.
Well, I couldn't say Lolita, course, or Lady Bird.
Yeah, but Albert Nobbs is, played by a woman. So that's Glenn Close trying to, you know, hiding out as a man named Albert Nobbs.
Yeah. Well, Victor Victoria, you know, I tried.
Yeah. No, you did. You tried. And I'm sorry that I let everybody down because my obsession with Larry Crown made me I just wrote it down a second time. I just wrote Larry Crown.
It's really strange. It's
again. Made. Yeah. Yeah. So that brings us to E, and you know, this game is really just for fun. There's really no winners or losers, but Andy does have the opportunity here.
I'm holding out hope.
Take the whole thing if his E matches the E that I wrote down.
I'm thinking the thing at the end of this is going to make it not right, but hoping Ed TV.
Oh, so close.
Oh, did you do Ed VHS?
Even. It crossed my mind even. But you're right about the TV part. I wanted it to just be, you know, just strictly names if possible. And the one I picked was Edward Scissorhands.
Oh.
Yeah.
Close.
So nobody wins. So that means in our next game, we'll just go back to playing in alphabetical order. Apologies to Mr. Wood for having that name. And we'll play one more game quickly right after the break. We'll be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We're back, and our second and final game today is called Parental Guidance. I, as a person without a child, but a person who's also, when I'm watching movies, I'm fairly sensitive to, oh, you know, this got that rating because of this or that. You know, it's, I don't know why it's interesting to me, but mostly because it's, you know, a form of censorship that I don't approve of. So I'm like, you know, always curious how far they go out of their way to, you know, change a director's vision just to get a rating that'll sell more tickets at the box office. And, but also just the things that these parental guidance spots, columns on the internet, the things they point out, it's just, they really, it's real nitpicky. And, you know, tells you everything you should possibly worry about your children seeing in these movies, even the most, you look up even the most innocent of movies, and it's funny what they'll find and say that you should keep your kids away from, which kind of makes sense. Like there's some heavy, heavy, serious movies. If I had seen it when I was five, it wouldn't have meant anything to me. But Wizard of Oz is scary as fuck, and they think that's a kid's show.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So I have real mixed feelings about these parental guides and what they pass along, but I'm just passing along to you because I'm going to read some of the things that parents are warned about a film, and your job is to guess which film I'm talking about. I'm going to start with Chris, and I'll give you Chris one warning.
Starting with the father of the group. This feels unfair.
but then I'll add, if Chris doesn't get it, then I'll add a second. So then Eliza will basically have two clues. Then we add a third one for Andy. And if he doesn't get it, then if it gets all the way back to Chris, the fourth clue just gives it away. Just absolutely gives it away. I hope. I've been wrong before, but I try. And each person will get a chance. We'll play three rounds. Each person will get a chance to go first for one round. And I've got a tiebreaker if we need it. Any questions?
No.
Chris.
Yes.
What movie do you think out of all the movies? So these start off very tough. You just have to take a stab at it. And I will say now that there is a theme today of all these answers. A group of teenagers pass around a marijuana joint and drink while on a beach.
Is it
While on a beach. Let's
could be a
see.
Lot of movies.
Is that movie The Beach? Isn't there? no. Smoking Mirror. That's what the movie's about. I don't know. I don't even. Do I have a guess? I don't know. North Shore. That's not what happened to that movie. I just love that. I'm going to go with North Shore in the interest of time.
Okay. Incorrect. Eliza, add to that this clue. One of the characters ignores advice to have wine breathe a little and fills an entire tumbler with wine.
Oh, that sounds so familiar. But I don't know exactly. So I'm going to say Jaws.
That is correct.
Yes! Oh, yes!
Amazing.
Ha-ha!
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah. That's the scene with the aforementioned Roy Scheider as Chief Brody. Richard Dreyfuss brings wine over for dinner so they can get together and discuss sharks.
Yes.
And he tells him, let that breathe a little. And Chief Brody just pours his whole fucking thing into his glass. And it's a real strong character moment for both of those actors. And not enough of that in movies.
It's chock full of character moments. Oh, yeah. It's such a good movie. Yeah. I was going mostly off of the first clue, but the second one, I was like, it feels familiar. It could be in that movie. Maybe that's what I'm remembering it for. Let's go.
Yeah, I thought that might tip it a little bit, but we tipped it all the way there. The next clue was about, you know, the skinny dipping girl and what parts of her you can see. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth clue was the movie can be traumatic for people swimming in the ocean.
Yeah. It's pretty much in the title of the parental warning.
Yeah. So don't watch this movie while swimming in the ocean. It's really way too scary.
Least, yeah.
All right. So that's round one, and Eliza got the point, and coincidentally, she gets to go first this next round anyway. And here's your first clue, Eliza.
Okay.
A teen boy says she's got the tits of a sparrow.
She's got the tits of a sparrow.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's...
I mean, that's... So you can narrow it down to it's a well-written movie.
Yeah, and it's about people, not birds, because that would be a different type of a comment if it was a bird movie. I'm going to go with Some Kind of Wonderful.
That seems like something they'd say there, maybe. That was kind of a John Hughes hallmark, is like kind of making up insults so that it wasn't from the lexicon already. He would create things that would be said later.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He was a vanguard.
He really was. But for better or worse, because some of the things he'd make up were like, okay, that's not, my favorite is, when Judd Nelson calls somebody a neo-maxi Zoom dweeby. Like, I don't think the tough guy would string those words together. Just that's how I feel about it. Andy, here's your second clue. Three characters share a bottle of whiskey.
Bits of a sparrow. Three characters share a bottle of whiskey. Not you're not specifying the age of these characters, just three characters.
Three characters, yeah.
Bottle of whiskey. It's not the what's the Lancaster by the Sea? Is that not the Manchester by the Sea?
Lancaster.
The most depressing movie ever.
No. That's my guess, though.
No, that's not right. That's not right. Chris?
Yes.
A killer whale is found with a huge chunk bitten out of its face.
Killer whale, bottle of
whiskey. I don't know, so I'm just going to say Red Sparrow because I think it would be funny if that's how that movie got that name. Because someone said that about Jennifer Lawrence and they gave it that title. That I've never seen that either. Red Sparrow, that's my answer.
I mean, you know, I wish I could make the correct sound for that answer because it's such a fun answer, but no. And this should give it away.
Yeah, I got it. Give the clue.
Oh, you think you already know what it is?
I do.
Do you want to say it now?
Jaws 2.
Impress everybody. What is it?
Jaws 2.
You did it.
Fuck.
That is correct.
Fuck.
Oh my goodness. You ran away with this thing, Eliza. This is the game for you. As long as it's questions about Jaws movies, you know what you're talking about.
Well, and if I knew I feel like this is all questions about Jaws movies.
Yeah, right? The fourth clue is going to be, as with the first film, it is infamous for making people scared of sharks and going into the water.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it does do that.
As with the first, yes. All right, so now just for fun, see who can figure this one out the fastest, because now you know the theme, I think. You kind of know the theme. A fish accidentally flips the switch and soap shoots onto a whale at the whale wash. He is okay after that. Two jellyfish torture the main character by stinging him while he is strapped up. Angelina Jolie's character acts kind of weird and seductive. A shark is crushed by an anchor and dies. I'm glad Jabber we didn't have to jaw? Do this one. Nobody knows what it is.
Is it Jabberjaw and Lara Croft go on vacation?
No.
Okay. The Meg?
No.
Angelina Jolie in a shark movie.
This is so funny. Okay, listen to this first part again.
Yeah.
A fish accidentally flips a switch and soap shoots onto a whale at the whale wash. He is okay after that.
Shark's tail. A shark's tail. No.
Try a third time.
The shark's tail?
One more.
Shark tail.
Yes.
Okay.
You did it. No whistle for you though. That was just for fun. But yeah, I guess that's the thing is the brain doesn't flip soon enough to, this is an animated thing.
Right.
So you're just thinking about the craziest shark whale movies you can think of. I'm surprised no one said Free Willy.
I thought maybe there was a Jabberjaw movie that got by me that I didn't know about.
Yeah, that could have been it. I mean, yeah, I think you really helped everybody by saying Jabberjaw. That really put it in the right realm. You know?
The animated realm.
Yeah, but that was terrific. We brought it in on time. I appreciate that because everybody's taking a little time out of their 31st day of October. And I know you're all getting ready for an exciting November. What would you like to plug? Eliza Skinner, let's start with you, our champion today.
I have an album out called Regarding My Lovers. And I am also going to be doing a show in Richmond, Virginia on November 16th. And if you want to go to it, you can get tickets at Traverse Comedy.
Awesome.
Traverse Comedy.
Thanks for being here. And as the champion today, I have to ask you if you're willing to come back on the show again sometime soon.
Never. No, of course. I love it. I'll try not to be so chatty next time.
Oh, no. Yeah, you ruined everything. And Chris Garcia, did you have a nice time?
I had a great time. It was my first time and I had a lot of fun.
Thanks. Oh, good. I'm glad. I hope you're not just walking away going, don't just ask Eliza questions about Jaws.
No, Eliza just knows way more than us. Yeah.
Yeah, that was great. What would you like to plug, Chris?
I'll be performing at Comedy on State in Madison, Wisconsin on November 11th.
Love that place. That's a great club.
Yeah, I'm excited to be there. So, November 11th, I'll be there.
Oh my God. They got massage chairs in the green room.
And they're not even creepy ones. I really like them. They're kind of nice.
You know, think about how Marc Maron sat in them. You might have a different perspective.
Hey, well, fuck it forever for that.
And Andy Wood out there with the cactuses.
Yep.
And those must be fun to just lean up against.
It's pretty tactile.
Nice cactus massage. What do you got coming up, buddy?
I am still doing my long-running podcast, Probably Science, with my co-hosts Matt Kirshen and Jesse Case. And listeners can check out the David Lyons episode. He's the aforementioned location manager for Norbit. If you want to get the inside scoop on how Norbit,
we
spent a long time of that episode talking about Norbit and how that movie came to be and how Eddie Murphy ended up with all these fat suit movies. So if you want those questions answered, go listen to the David Lyons episode of Probably Science.
All right. I'm really tempted to do that. You know, I don't listen to podcasts, but I just might check that out. Just
interesting behind the scenes stuff. Yeah.
Douglas Movies is back in Sweet Home, San Diego this Saturday, November 6th, but lots more dates are being added to the calendar. So go to douglasmovies.com for all of that info. Yeah. Thank you once again to Eliza Skinner and Chris Garcia and Andy Wood. And as always, and they all started singing Nearer My God to Thee.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another cocky. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug